Paul had written this letter to the Hebrews in order that he may encourage his Jewish brethren. Many of the Jewish people, having stepped out of Judaism into Christianity, was willing to reverse their course in order to escape persecutions by their countrymen. The writer of Hebrews exhorts them to go on to perfection. His appeal is based on the superiority of Jesus. Christ is better than the angels, for they worshiped him. He is better than Moses, for he created him. He is better than the Aaron priesthood, for his sacrifice was once and forever. He is better than the law, for he mediated a better covenant. In short, there is more to be gained in Christ than there was to be lost in Judaism. Pressing on in Christ produces a tested faith, self-discipline, and a visible love seen. Listen what it says in chapter 12. If you remember, in chapter 11, he had a long list of our forefathers, the patriarchs of the Jewish faith. He itemized a lot of their great victories that they had wrought through faith in God. And listen to what it says beginning in chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now you notice that Paul categorized two things that would beset us, and that would do it easily. Weight. Lay aside the weights that so easily beset us. There's a lot of things that we get involved with that's not sin. But if it is a distraction, if it saps our strength, if it is causing us to grow weary and tired, let it go. Lay aside those things that would distract you from God, that would distract you from the work of the cross, that would distract you from following him as a strong child of God. And then he mentions the sin that so easily besets us. We all have that sin that we so easily fall into. I don't know what it is in your case. It could be lying. It could be deceiving. It could be gossiping. It could be adultery. It could be one of the many sins that belay you, that causes you to turn from your journey heavenward. We're all familiar with that sin that so easily besets us. It's the sin that we come to the Lord every few days saying, "It's me again, Lord. Can you forgive me one more time?" But I'd like to say this. If you have ever been to the Lord for any sin, no matter how often, and he forgives you, you don't have to worry about that sin anymore. And the next time you come to him, even though it's that same old besetting sin that has troubled you for years, you come to him as a first-time offender, and he just simply forgives you. Isn't that a marvelous thought to carry with you? Knowing that each time you come to him for forgiveness, you approach the throne of forgiveness as a first-time offender. Oh, hallelujah. I appreciate a God who not only can forgive our sins, but he forgets our sins. And I'm glad that when I come to him for forgiveness, he doesn't have my rap sheet before him and saying, "Charles, this is the third time this month you've come to me with this. I don't know what I'm going to do with you, son." No, that will never happen with my Heavenly Father. Each time I come to him, and if he would look over my record, he'd find that I don't have a rap sheet. My record is clean, spotless, white as snow. Oh, I can appreciate a God like that. Can't you? Hallelujah. And then he says, Let us look unto Jesus. Scholars tell us that this word looking unto Jesus is more than just having him in your view. It's more than just having a peripheral view of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be focused on Jesus, like our Lord when he was headed to Jerusalem for the crucifixion. The Bible says he set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. Nothing was going to turn him. Nothing was going to stop him. He had a mission in mind, and he set his face like a flint, and he headed to Jerusalem. And in so doing, he fulfilled the purpose for what he came to do. This word, looking unto Jesus, means to focus on him, to not just keep him in your peripheral vision, but to set your eyes upon him. Intentionally turn away from other things and focus on him. In fact, he says, if you seek me with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, you will find me. Other words, put all of our energies into looking to Jesus. Put all of our energies into believing in Jesus and trusting Jesus. And then he says, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. They were discouraged. They felt that the trials and the temptations that they were facing was unwarranted, and certainly they were unwanted. So Paul said, consider Jesus. He endured these same contradictions of sinners. When you consider him, when you consider what Jesus went through, then you will not grow weary. You will not faint. And then Paul added, for you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have not fought against sin until it has cost you your blood. Jesus did. And then he says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. They had forgotten the verses of Scripture. That's in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Listen to what this verse of Scripture says. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is it whom the Father chasteneth not? And if he be without chastisement, they are not sons, he says. If you are not going through some grievous trials, if you are not going through some dark days, then you are not the Son of God. The trials, the dark days, the weary mind, all of these are proof that you belong to him. He loves you. He's dealing with you just like you're his child. You are family. He will not put anything on you that you cannot withstand. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.